Like to welcome Pastor Linda Fulton to the pulpit with us this morning. We remember all fond times of having her when she filled in between preachers for us a long time ago. Few announcements to make. The men's group is invited to go to Mount Tabor Tuesday night, 6:30, for their annual summer fun night. We've been 2 or 3 years in a row, and it's always a good time. Also like to thank the men, if you hadn't been out to see the picnic shelter, it has a new metal roof on it. I won't call the names of the ones that I know were there, because there's probably a few working on it that I didn't know were there. So thanks to all the men that put the new roof on the picnic shelter. Update on a member, Herbert Frank had surgery this morning for an infection in his hand. I think it was a problems from his carpal tunnel surgery he had earlier in the week. But he's out of surgery this morning, and doctors came in and they're pleased with the surgery and he's doing well. Basket offering today is from Crisis Ministries, or it's for Crisis Ministries. And don't forget the softball ice cream social tonight at 5 o'clock to benefit the scholarship fund. Do we have any more announcements from anybody? A couple of prayer shawls. One is for Gary Lopp, son of Vivian and Roy Lopp. He's a member here, is fighting Parkinson's disease, and he needs our prayers. Another one for Chuck Lopp, who is Kent's son, Roy and Vivian's grandson. He had appendicitis surgery a couple weeks ago. They found cancer in his colon. He needs our prayers also.
And this one is for Stephanie Chambers. She's the daughter-in-law of Jane's friend, Dean Chambers. She was pregnant. She had a heart attack, but she delivered the baby. The baby's fine. Then she had another heart attack. And so she is still waiting to see whether they're going to do, you know, put in a stent or whatever. So she needs our prayers. And then this one is for Carol Varner's grandson and Angie's son. Houston's wife is having a baby, and his name is going to be Lincoln, but we have, so this is for baby Lassiter. It's due almost any time. So bless this, please.
Birthdays this week. Happy birthday to Carrie, Anthony, Cliff, Tracy, McKenna, Mason, Bill, Todd, Brandon, and Anna. And have happy anniversary to Bobby and Jana.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall in their hearts. May your peace passes all understanding abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Also, just all one last, missed this one last week. Please sign up for summer music.
Thank you.
Please stand if you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, throughout time you free the oppressed, heal the sick, and make whole all that you have made. Look with compassion on the world wounded by sin, and by your power to restore us to wholeness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Figured so, I know Isabel does. So, the little girl's asking a lot of questions, The first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord. Okay, where was I? Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and... I'll just read it from here. Yeah, okay. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Word of God, word of life. The psalm for today is Psalm 81, verses 1 through 10. Sing with joy to God our strength, and raise a loud shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and sound the timbrel, the merry harp and the lyre. Blow the ram's horn at the new moon and at the full moon, the day of our feast. For this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. God laid it as a solemn charge upon Joseph, going out over the land of Egypt, where I heard a voice I did not know. I eased your shoulder from the burden. Your hands were set free from the grave digger's basket. You called on me in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you from the secret place of thunder and tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me. There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not worship a foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians. We do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake. So that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Seated. Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful people gathered here and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit that we may be recreated, and through us you will renew the face of the earth. Amen. When was the last time you did nothing? I mean literally, did nothing. Nothing. Sat in a chair, put your feet up, and just relaxed. Allowed your mind and body and spirit to relax. Freed yourself from thinking about what needed to be done or who needed your help or, well, anything at all. Just let go of everything and relaxed. Can anyone here honestly recall the last time you did that? The last time you gave yourself permission to rest, really rest, really relax, really take some Sabbath time. Today's readings concern just such time. In Hebrew, the word Sabbath is rooted in the word sabbat, which means to stop or to cease. It was set forth in the Ten Commandments for the people of Israel as a day of rest, because according to the creation story in Genesis, on the seventh day, after all the work of creation, God's own self rested. It was seen as a gift to the people of Israel, as even slaves and animals were to be given time off from labor, giving one and all a time of refreshment and rest, of renewal and restoration. But over centuries of time, the law had been expanded, added to, and by the time of Jesus, there were 39 activities which were expressly forbidden if one was to keep the letter of the law. And that was what the Pharisees were all about, the letter of the law. No tempering it with compassion, no. The most important thing was that the law be kept totally, completely. And then along comes Jesus, the renegade Galilean rabbi, with his disciples. As they walked through the fields of grain, and as they were hungry, the men began to pluck the heads of grain and to eat them. The watching Pharisees were incensed. "That's not lawful," they said. And we can imagine them looking reprovingly at Jesus, tisking about how this supposed rabbi was unable or unwilling to keep his disciples in tow. What kind of a faith teacher was he? We can imagine them thinking. What kind of example was he setting for his disciples? After all, the law said that any food eaten on the Sabbath was to have been prepared the day before, so that no work would be done on the Sabbath. But Jesus doesn't get into a debate, doesn't let himself get sucked in. He simply reminds them about how their greatest king, David, entered the temple and ate the bread reserved for the priests and shared it with his companions because they were hungry. And in spite of the fact that this was against the law and actually punishable by death. The Sabbath was made for humankind, Jesus said, and not humankind for the Sabbath, reminding them that it had always been intended as a gracious gift from a grace-filled God, reminding these guardians of the law that legalism must always be tempered with mercy and inclusion in the realm of God. Always. Mercy. Inclusion. Then we're told by Mark, Jesus entered the synagogue and saw there a man with a withered hand. And the eyes of the Pharisees were on Jesus to see what he would do. Could they catch him up in lawbreaking yet again? After all, according to Mark's gospel, the religious leaders were already looking for ways to discredit and destroy Jesus because of his teachings, which they considered heretical. Teachings about God's love and compassion and forgiveness, about helping the least of these and loving your enemy. Because of the company he kept, associating with those that the righteous religious felt were not worthy of their attention and care, who were in fact dubbed sinners and outcasts. And Jesus said to the man, "Come here," which means that he saw him as a person worth his time and attention. And then turning to the watching, judging eyes around him, he asked, "Is it lawful to do good or harm on the Sabbath? To save life or kill?" Knowing full well that none of the 39 forbidden activities included doing good or saving life. And he restored the hand of the man, which so ticked off the Pharisees, good religious folk that they were, that they began conspiring with a rival party, the Herodians, to figure out how to do away with this troublemaker. A familiar story, right? We've heard it so many times before. Jesus standing up to the religious leaders to heal the hand of a man right in front of them, in seeming defiance of them and their laws. But there's something more at stake here, something far deeper going on. For more is broken and in need of healing than this man's withered hand. The very religious system of that day and time is conspiring against this man and others like him with their rules and regulations, with their demands and expectations, with their laws about who was in and who was out. You see, Jewish law at that time had it that a person with any kind of physical deformity could not enter into the worship space. Any kind of physical deformity or infirmity. The synagogue had a kind of narthex, if you will, a gathering place or portico where anyone could come, a place where beggars, those crippled or blind or missing a limb or unable to work for any reason, would come to beg from those coming to worship, hoping and trusting that good religious folk would feel enough compassion to open their purses and share with those less fortunate. This, after all, was also part of the expectation of Jewish tradition, of the teachings of the prophets. But none of these people, these outcast, malformed people, were permitted to enter the sanctuary where worship actually took place. And the man who approached Jesus was among those excluded from worship. Not only was he considered an outcast or outsider in his community because of his physical deformity, but he was not permitted to be part of the worshiping community of the faithful. It was as if the people around him were saying to him, "Your difference makes you not okay enough to join us in worship. And by the way, your hand is probably withered that way as a punishment from God for something you did or didn't do." As they made their way into worship on that particular Sabbath, or any other for that matter. Look around this sanctuary this morning. I'm sure there are people here who use canes, people wearing hearing aids, perhaps even someone with a prosthesis of some kind, perhaps someone suffering with a mental illness or depression. Now imagine that we, and I include myself because of my less than perfect vision, would be excluded from worship because of our less than perfection. Excluded by the very religion we profess because of its interpretation by some of the insiders determined to keep us out. And it hurts to be an outsider for any reason, doesn't it? But at times we, you and I, if we're going to be honest, we consider ourselves to be the insiders, reluctant to welcome those unlike us, those that we might, in the deepest places inside ourselves, think are less than us. People who look different, or speak differently, or even smell differently. Easier to exclude, to shut out, than to welcome those unlike ourselves. The Pharisees felt that, knew that, believed that, but Jesus didn't, which was one of the reasons they wanted to get rid of him. He was a threat to the status quo, to things remaining as they were, to their world of rules and laws and right and wrong and in and out carefully spelled out. In this morning's reading from 2 Corinthians, Paul recalls to the worshiping community in Corinth that we have the treasure of the presence of God in our lives in clay jars, which means that each and every one of us is far from perfect, that we are truly fallible and breakable with countless flaws, each and every one of us, no exceptions. And if this is true, and I believe that it is, then there can be no insiders and outsiders. For each and every one of us, each and every person you meet, each and every person in every place on this earth is a created child of God. And the Spirit of God lives in them, whether they know it or not. Which means that God's gracious gifts, including the gift of Sabbath rest and refreshment and renewal and recreation, are for all people. This is what Jesus the Christ came to tell us, to show us the gifts of forgiveness and welcome and inclusion and acceptance are for all people. The gifts of human community are for all people. And just as nothing can separate us from the love of God, so we should let nothing separate us from one another. As that divine love flows in and through us on this Sabbath day, on every holy ordinary day. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I love you.
us confess what we believe with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, we join with the church in every place, praying for the world that God so loves. God, our strength, you command your people to keep Sabbath. Coax your church away from the busyness of the world and give us holy rest, so that refreshed, we will give vibrant witness to your world-healing love. Hear us, O God. Mercy is great. God, our strength, you restore what is withered. As all creation stretches forth in hunger and thirst for you, revive what has ceased to flourish and repair what has fallen into decay. Make us partners in your holy healing. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God, our strength, we ache for peace. Teach nations that you carry our burdens, you free human hands, and you rescue us in distress. Raise up leaders in the world who listen to your voice and walk in your ways. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God, our strength, people are afflicted and perplexed, persecuted and struck down. Shine the light of your glory into the hearts of your suffering ones, especially Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Harold, Barbara, Elizabeth, Pastor Matt and Carrie, and Gary, and all those others who we name aloud or in the silence of our hearts. John, Larry. So that they will not be crushed, driven to despair, or forsaken. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God, our strength, you grieve our hardness of heart whenever we turn your holy counsel into rules to control others. Open our hearts to your loving will for these times, for our neighbors, and for this community of faith. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God, our strength, death is at work in us, but life is in you. Free us now to live into your promise of indestructible life, and in the end, restore us with all the saints. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. By the sure guidance of your Holy Spirit, O God, we lift up our prayers in trust and thanksgiving through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let us share that peace with one another. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and be fed.
Thank you.
Please stand if you are able. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you always in his peace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Creator and the Redeemer and the Living Spirit. Amen.
Let us to say the mission statement together. As united people...